Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, it's going to be a busy day as we talk about everything that happened over the weekend and is happening right now as the United States is intercepting Iranian missiles. That's the story right now. Intercepting Iranian missiles over Qatar, however you want to say it. And what we're hearing is that basically we knew that Iran was going to hit back. This is kind of a Fugazi hit back in the sense that they're not looking to escalate. They're looking to show face with the public, and that's where we are at this moment right now. We're waiting to hear if we're going to hear from the president, because it's we're being told he may address everybody. Obviously, if he does, we'll bring it live to you and you can weigh in. And today's the day for you to weigh in. Are you happy about the missile strikes? Are you angry about the missile strikes? Do you feel like we're going to be dragged into another Middle Eastern war? Do you feel like war is going to be averted in the Middle East? A couple takeaways right off the bat, which is that J.D. Vance has said, we will not have ground troops. This is not going to be a war. These were targeted strikes, and that's the end of it. Targeted strikes, that's it, and there's not going to be a war. Okay. The second thing to take away from all this is that, according to experts, the market right now, which is doing very, very well, the market doesn't think this is going to be a long, protracted war. So that's a good thing. And obviously, when the president said within 2 weeks, like I told you last week, it was not going to be 2 weeks. It was going to be within 2 weeks. And we said at the time that could be an hour, that could be 3 hours, that could be before the end of the show. And it didn't happen before the end of the show, but it happened Saturday night. Bumping, by the way, a lot of Saturday night programming, including Jimmy Fallon's Saturday Night Show, and bumping my appearance on America's Newsroom today. Even though I get all the way up there, it's all right. It's how it works. What are you going to do? I got bumped for the president of Israel. So, you know, there's that. But everybody knew this was coming. Everybody anticipated this was coming. And here we are. So Iran now is basically, it doesn't really have much that it can do. You hear these baseless threats from Russia that they're going to supply Iran with nukes, but they're not going to do that, because if they did that, then we would supply Ukraine with nukes, and that's not going to happen. You hear about Iran shutting off the Strait of Hormuz. If they do that, then they're just hurting themselves economically, not the United States of America economically. So they're going to hurt themselves in a big, big way. So they're probably not going to do that. But there's going to be a lot of talk and there's going to be a lot of bluster. The president has said if a single American dies here in their retaliation, then they're going to get an even bigger case of what they got the other night. And then there's the response on Capitol Hill, which obviously, if you're listening to the Democrats, this was illegal. It wasn't. I mean, the president notified Congress. He's empowered under the War Powers Act. He's empowered under the Constitution. Every president does this. I mean, they all do, including Obama. He did it like 500 times. I'm not saying that that makes it right or wrong. I'm just saying they all do it. So to start screaming that the president has somehow violated the law, he hasn't, because both sides, both parties have done this, acted unilaterally, launched attacks on sites in the Middle East where they felt American forces could be at risk, didn't get an authorization from Congress. They justified it as they justify everything and notify congressional leadership. And, you know, there you go. I think we're all hoping that this is the end of it. There's reports that Iran has sleeper cell agents in the United States that are going to act and start blowing everybody up. I doubt it. And I'm not really going to start losing sleep over that. And I don't think you should either. And I really don't want to see another excuse. Not that I think this president would, but an excuse to start clamping down on civil liberties and more monitoring to keep us safe and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So that's good. I also don't think Iran has much to work with in the way of retaliation, because for weeks, Israel was taking out their ballistic missiles, and we just destroyed all their nuclear, if they had a nuclear missile, if they were close to having a nuclear missile, if they had the ability to assemble it. Well, that's over. That's done. The reports that Iran moved their nuclear materials prior to the attack, I've heard those reports. Again, I doubt it, because I think that our intelligence indicated they had to move now before Iran could move the stuff, and Iran was going to move the stuff. And so that's the way, you know, they probably was the reason why they struck Saturday night. So far, we've intercepted all the Iranian missiles over the military base in Qatar, and they were not successful in killing anybody or making any damage whatsoever. So that's where we are. And again, this is a day to hear from you. Let me know what you think. I've seen reactions all across the board. People are happy. People are angry. People are feeling like this is going to be the end of the Iranian nuclear threat. And there are people feeling like this is the beginning of what is going to be the United States getting involved into another long military conflict. So what do you think? I'd love to hear from you. 855-839-1210 is the number. You can weigh in. You can also tweet at Rich Zeoli. You can weigh in on our YouTube chat, where I'm sure everybody will be weighing in as well. And by the way, thank you for joining us in Cape May on Friday. We had a blast at the Grand Hotel. It was great. Huge crowd. Probably one of our biggest to date, if not the biggest to date. We'll be back there August 15th. It's a Friday. That's if I can keep my sanity between now and August 15th. Because this is just, you know, it's an insane time. But assuming I can, we'll be back there August 15th for our next live show of the summer. And we kicked off a heat wave. So that's the other thing we're dealing with now. We're dealing with a heat dome. So different than the dome they were going to use to defend the United States from missile attacks. The dome we're dealing with right now is a heat dome. So there's that. And you know, I felt bad because my son was playing flag football. He had a flag football camp this morning and those kids were out there, but you know, it builds character and nobody passed out. And that's good. You just got to load them up. You got to hydrate. That's what you got to do. You got to hydrate, you know, where do we stand right now in terms of, the president's feeling towards Democrats who are not standing with him, and who are the Democrats that are standing with him? Well, you've got John Fetterman standing with the president. Josh Shapiro basically coming out and supporting the president. And that's really it. And those guys are supporting the president because, A, they understand that Pennsylvania, for the most part, is going to stand with the president on this. And B, they understand for the most part that probably the majority of the American people are going to support the president on this. These kind of things are very popular, politically speaking. If you are of the camp that wants not to see the United States intervene, then it's obviously not popular with you. I get it. I do. I understand. I've heard a lot of those concerns and a lot of those voices. And we'll certainly make space for them here today on the show. You know, this is your place to weigh in and chat about all these things. And then the other thing, too, is that as we're talking about all this, we don't know what the next few hours are going to bring on all this. But one thing is clear. And what's clear is that Iran has to show face with the people. And the Pentagon is now saying they're not tracking any more Iranian attacks on bases at the moment, that they were successful in intercepting all of them. So that's great. That's good. That's excellent. Bravo there. I'm not surprised the president attacked Iran. I don't think you should be. I think we all kind of concluded on Friday that this was coming. You know, we took a show of hands. And we heard from the audience and everybody said, yeah, this is coming. So so no surprise there in that sense. This was something he was going to do. Am I surprised at how quickly it happened? No, because, again, when he said within 2 weeks, you kind of figured that within 2 weeks meant 2 hours or 2 days. It didn't mean 2 weeks. And anybody who would think that he would, because he always wants to be unpredictable, project out like that would be insane. This is also, by the way, the big story of the hour, the week, the day, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Emergency dental care as well. We had an emergency situation. A kid fell at a park. We were at a park on a Sunday. Kids were doing a lemonade stand. Kid fell, cracked his tooth. And I called up Dr. Mike right away, and he was able to talk to the family and help them out. So that's the kind of guy he is. He's just the absolute best. So go see him today. We have some great guests joining us on the show, including the GOAT of foreign policy analysis, Dr. Victoria Coates. She'll be here to talk about all of this with us. We're also going to talk to John Yoo, Professor John Yoo, constitutional professor, about the president's legal authority to do what he did. And we'll hear from the president, hopefully, at some point during the show today. I'd be shocked if he does not at some point come out and say something. I really would. I'd be amazed if he doesn't. We have a ton of audio, too. Audio from local reaction and from over the weekend when the president addressed everybody Saturday night. And also from the Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman who laid out the complete execution of Operation Midnight Hammer. Operation Midnight Hammer, which was a success, and the B-2 bombers flew back, and our buddy Wake Up NJ had video of them flying back over Wildwood, New Jersey. There's an old saying about those B-2s that if you see them, you're not the target, the stealth bombers, you're not the target. And people saw them as they were on the beach over the weekend. So how did this all play out? And, you know, I do not want to see the United States get involved here in a long war. I don't want to see boots on the ground. I don't want to see any of that. So my hope is that this is done. It's over. And we can get back to now focusing on the issues here in the United States of America that matter to everybody. I think there's two camps. One camp seems on the extremes. One camp seems to be jumping up and down and celebrating this. The other camp is outraged and, you know, Trump is dead to them. But I think rationally speaking, you had to know this was coming based on every indication that he gave. And number two, I think that if he were to get us involved into a long war, if boots were on the ground, if the United States got involved in regime change and actually trying to instill a new government in Iraq or Iran, excuse me, yeah, that would lose every, that would lose most of us. I mean, it would. Bottom line, there's just no stomach for that. There's no appetite for that. And it's one thing to do strikes and take out Iran's nuclear facilities. It's another thing to get us down into Iraq 2.0. So let's hope to God that doesn't happen. We don't need that. Nobody wants that. There's no appetite for that, even among the American people. Like, I mean, the support of the people to take out these nuclear sites is probably going to be pretty strong when the polls come back. But there's no way the support would be there for us getting involved in rebuilding another country in the Middle East, because we can't rebuild these countries. And, you know, that's the way it is. As far as the fact that this was carried out with zero leaks, amazing, absolutely amazing, that aspect of it. In this day and age, to not have anyone leak anything, probably good Hakeem Jeffries didn't answer his phone, because they notified Chuck Schumer. And they notified Hakeem Jeffries, but Hakeem Jeffries didn't pick up. So it's probably a good thing he didn't pick up, because that guy probably has a mouth on him and probably would have leaked it. The fact that there were no leaks that came from inside the Pentagon or anybody in the Defense Department is amazing and says a lot about the way that Pete Hegseth runs the Pentagon in this day and age. And also the fear that people know President Trump's not going to tolerate leaks, period. The other aspect of this, too, is that unlike the disastrous cluster F that was the withdrawal of Afghanistan, it was executed with precision. None of our guys were hurt. None of our planes were shot down. And the really fascinating part about this is when you hear about the decoy operation that was done, was remarkable from an operational point of view, remarkable. And how they were able to use the decoys to throw the Iranians off their toes here. And why do we begin there, too? Because we've heard a lot from the president, from what he said over the weekend. You probably have heard it by now. But you may not have heard of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Chair Dan Kane laying out the complete execution of Operation Midnight Hammer. Held a news conference earlier, I believe it was either today or yesterday, with the defense secretary, laying out the details of how this came out and how this went out. So let's start with cut number five, Justin, and go from there.
First launch from the continental United States. As part of a plan to maintain tactical surprise, part of the package proceeded to the west and into the Pacific as a decoy, a deception effort known only to an extremely small number of planners and key leaders here in Washington and in Tampa. The main strike package, comprised of seven B-2 Spirit bombers, each with two crew members, proceeded quietly to the east with minimal communications. Throughout the 18-hour flight into the target area, the aircraft completed multiple in-flight refuelings. Once over land, the B-2s linked up with escort and support aircraft in a complex, tightly timed maneuver requiring exact synchronization across multiple platforms in a narrow piece of airspace, all done with minimal communications. This type of integration is exactly what our joint force does better than anyone else in the world.
He continued with the operation and what happened with this, the three nuclear sites in Iran. And by the way, the president is warning Russia that do not even attempt to move nuclear warheads to Iran. And the president said on social media, on Truth Social, did he really say that? The N-word? Nuclear? Surely this is just a figment of his imagination, right? He's not really going to do this. Here's part two of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, cut six.
At approximately 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time last night, and just prior to the strike package entering Iran, a U.S. submarine in the Central Command Area of Responsibility launched more than two dozen Tomahawk land attack cruise missiles against key surface infrastructure targets at Esfahan. As the Operation Midnight Hammer strike package entered Iranian airspace, the U.S. employed several deception tactics, including decoys, as the fourth and fifth generation aircraft pushed out in front of the strike package at high altitude and high speed, sweeping in front of the package for enemy fighters and surface-to-air missile threats. The strike package was supported by U.S. Strategic Command, U.S. Transportation Command, U.S. Cyber Command, U.S. Space Command, U.S. Space Force, and U.S. European Command. As the strike package approached Fordo and Natanz, the U.S. protection package employed high-speed suppression weapons to ensure safe passage of the strike package, with fighter assets employing preemptive suppressing fires against any potential Iranian surface-to-air threats. We are currently unaware of any shots fired at the U.S. strike package on the way in. At approximately 6:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2:10 a.m. Iran time, the lead B-2 dropped two GBU-57 massive ordnance penetrator weapons on the first of several aim points at Fordo.
So Putin is saying this is unprovoked aggression against Iran. He's threatening to do something. I don't really think he's going to do anything. Do you? I mean, he's bogged down in Ukraine. I can't imagine he's going to do anything. But, you know, it's the tough talk you'd expect, obviously. No surprise there. All right, weigh in. Give me your thoughts. Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you worried? Are you relieved? 855-839-1210 is the number. We'll make Matt DeSantis work today and screen your phone calls. He loves that part of his job. 855-839-1210. Weigh in on X at Rich Zeoli, and also weigh in on our YouTube chat as well. Big show for you today. It's going to be a crazy week, no doubt about it. Glad you're here. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So the Ayatollah says they won't accept any aggression. No aggression. No aggression. Welcome to the show. Here we are. It's Monday. It's the Monday after we bombed the Iranian nuclear sites on Saturday. And I'm not surprised. I'm just hoping to hell that this is the end of it. And there is not going to be another Middle Eastern war. I'm really, really hoping and optimistic that this is it, one and done. I'm praying to God because I cannot tolerate another United States Middle Eastern war with boots on the ground and regime change and rebuilding roads and bridges and schools and bringing democracy and all the other of it. I'm not surprised the president acted because I think the people that are around him were pushing him to do this. And it's not that he gets pushed. It's just that, you know, look, I mean, the alliance that we have with Israel, I think you'd have to be a fool going into this weekend thinking that this wasn't going to happen at some point. You know, I mean, I said it on Friday at the Grand Hotel. I said, this is coming. The strike's coming. You know, so to act either, I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me personally. It's hard for me to fall into a camp of celebration because this could lead to something that could lead us into a very, very long, dangerous situation. So I can't join in that crowd of, like, you know, cheering, like, yeah, like, cause we don't know the unintended consequences of this, but I'm not stupid. I knew this was happening. So I'm also not going to be in this outrage camp of being like, oh my God, I cannot believe he did this. I think, I mean, how could anybody not see that this was coming? We said it Friday. We played the audio at the Grand Hotel. I asked everybody in the room. I said, the only question is when. It's not a question of if. It's a question of when. It's a question of when we bomb the nuclear sites in Iran. And, you know, I mean, I came to that conclusion because it was obvious he wasn't bluffing when he was out there saying over and over again, Iran can't have a nuke. And and when he said Tulsi's wrong, and then hours, not even hours, but an hour later, Tulsi Gabbard put out a statement saying, I said that they could make a nuclear weapon. They just have to put it together if they want to. They have all the materials and they can do it. I said, well, at that point, then it's inevitable. The strike's coming. It's just when. Now, I didn't have Saturday night on my bingo card. I didn't. I don't think anyone did. But, you know, now it's over. Now it's done. And hopefully now we can move on. This is what presidents do. This is what they do. They launch strikes in the Middle East. I mean, Trump did this when he killed General Soleimani the first term. It did not lead to a greater escalation. Thank God. There are some saying this is apples and oranges, and so you can't compare the two. But there's others who are saying that Iran has no way to really fight back. And as long as we don't have the mindset of we're going to go in there like we did with Iraq, invade the country, take over, defeat the Ayatollah, bring democracy and nation build, as long as we don't think we can pull off any of that garbage, then this is over, and now, you know, we move on. And yeah, you're going to hear tough talk from China. You're going to hear tough talk from Russia, and you're going to hear and see nuclear strikes, or missile strikes, not nuclear, but missile strikes. You're going to see that. They have to. A lot of this is show. But maybe you're thrilled. I know a lot of people were. A lot of people were thrilled. I know a lot of people are angry. A lot of people feel betrayed in the MAGA movement. Like, this is not what they signed up for. You know, that Hillary Clinton was saying she would bomb Iran, not Trump. So let me know what you think, how you feel. Matt, you are going to have to screen calls today. I'm sorry to let you know that. And your buddy Linda's not here to defend you, so you will have to screen calls.
Oh, man. That's the worst part of this. Usually, I, believe it or not, enjoy coming to work, but the phone screening, always rough. Mm-hmm.
So let's, If you despise the Harvard elitists like I do, best way to get back at them, just to call the show, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, and let me know your thoughts. So far from the YouTube chat, what I can gather is kind of a mix of glad it's over, hoping it doesn't go anywhere else, and hoping that it doesn't escalate anymore. That seems to be kind of the feeling of all this. But, you know, I heard certain people on TV Saturday night who were acting like this was the greatest thing that ever happened. And they're jumping up and down and dancing with joy. And I'm sure you can kind of guess who I'm talking about. I'm not going to be in that camp. These things make me nervous. They always do because of the unintended consequences of what we don't know. At the same time, like I said, I knew this was going to happen. The minute that Trump said within 2 weeks, I mean, that was inevitable. So unlike George H.W. Bush, though, or George W. Bush, excuse me, I don't think he has any intention, and based on everything that people are saying, zero intention to actually go in, topple the Ayatollah, instill a new government, and nation build. So when he put out a Truth Social and he said, people say regime change, it's a bad word, but what if it's not that bad? I think I'm hoping that that's one of those Trump warnings to the Ayatollah, like, don't pull any BS here, because there's just no appetite for that. Let's face it. There's no appetite. You know, there's probably a big appetite for strikes against the nuclear facilities, probably pretty big. I bet you when this comes back, polling wise, it's going to be popular. The reason why I say that is because I remember the movie The American President, the scene with Michael Douglas when he's playing the president and he hits an Iranian site. And the one guy says to him, you know, what you've done is very presidential. It's going to be very popular. And he gives this great speech about how somewhere some janitor's going to work and he has no idea that in an hour he's going to be dead because I just gave the order to kill him. You know, it's a really good speech, but good movie too. Just a little bit. It's a lefty movie, obviously. And at the end, his whole monologue on gun control is insane, but it's a good movie though. It's very entertaining and he plays a good president. My point is this will probably play pretty popular, but a nation building regime change, Middle Eastern, let's rebuild Iran to usher in peace and ensure that we don't have to worry about them for the next 20 years. No way. No chance. Not popular. No one wants that. I mean, no one. And it would be the kind of thing that would MAGA would be out. I mean, you'd have the voices that are celebrating this, but that's it. And you'd lose the American people. There's no doubt about that. The Strait of Hormuz and this question of whether or not Iran would close the strait, because that was their big threat. No, they're not going to. They can't. And the reason why they can't is China. China warned Iran to back down from its threat to close the strait. We estimate that 84% of the crude oil and condensate and 83% of the liquefied natural gas that moved through the Strait of Hormuz went to Asian markets in 2024. China, India, Japan, and South Korea were the top destinations for crude oil moving through the strait to Asia, accounting for a combined 69% of all Hormuz crude oil and condensate flows in 2024. And those markets would be most affected by supply disruptions. And that's why that's not going to happen. Iran would be hurting themselves economically, so they're not going to do that. It's also why I can't imagine that if they're really going to be planning on laying mines in the strait, that's going to be anything significant. For the same reason I just said, they have the chance of blowing up their own supply chain, and that's how they make their money. The Joint Chiefs of Staff Chair Dan Kane continuing to lay out the execution of Operation Midnight Hammer, which, by the way, was my Queensryche cover band name in college. Now, I know that joke was used earlier today by my buddy Greg Stocker. It's okay. I don't know what band he picked. But Queensryche seems to be the appropriate one here, does it not? Obviously, it does. Here's the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff laying out the complete execution. As he continues with this news conference, let's go to cut number 7.
As the president stated last night, the remaining bombers then hit their targets as well, with a total of 14 MOPs dropped against 2 nuclear target areas. All 3 Iranian nuclear infrastructure targets were struck between 6:40 p.m. and 7:05 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, that's about 2:10 in the morning local time in Iran, with the Tomahawk missiles being the last to strike at Esfahan to ensure we retain the element of surprise throughout the operation. following weapons release, the Midnight Hammer strike package exited Iranian airspace and the package began its return home. We are unaware of any shots fired at the package on the way out. Iran's fighters did not fly, and it appears that Iran's surface-to-air missile systems did not see us. Throughout the mission, we retained the element of surprise.
So the element of surprise was key. Using the decoys was key. All of that was I mean, look, whether you're happy about this or angry about this, everybody can agree this was a flawless execution. Flawless execution. Like, you can be angry as hell that this happened, and you still have to say flawless execution. And the fact that they were able to pull this off with such precision, zero leaks, zero damage, zero planes getting shot down, zero loss of American life, it's amazing. The fact that there were no leaks alone in this day and age in Washington is amazing, obviously. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Larry is up first on this issue. Larry, happy Monday. Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, how you doing? Did they have to feed Chris Christie the whole way over in the bomb bay?
It's just wrong.
To keep them quiet.
So wrong.
Screaming?
So wrong.
Know,
and
wrong.
The fact that they dropped him multiple times. So they you know what I mean?
Well,
so that's not easy to do. All right, Larry, thanks for starting us off with a laugh today. We God knows we all could use it. So thank you, buddy.
Yeah, man. See ya.
All right, see ya. 855-839-1210 if you want to weigh in. You know, the other thing too about this is that if you're worried about the economics of this, Dow's up, futures are up. Crude oil's down, but not enough to make anybody panic, and that's the key. And I think that the market is the best predictor of whether or not this thing is one and done or this thing is going to go on. I really do. I was watching earlier, Brian Brenberg, who I think is terrific. He's on Fox Business. Actually saw him in the hallway, as a matter of fact, at Fox News. He did not get bumped. I did. I'm not bitter. I'm not. But anyway, Brian was saying that. He was saying that, you know, if you look at the markets right now and you see how they're reacting and the Dow's up, and the S&P's up and everything's up, crude's down a little bit, but it's not down by, you know, massive amounts. That's a sign that people believe that this is over. We struck the nuclear sites. We shot them to hell. They're destroyed. And that's that. And then now we move on and get the one big beautiful bill passed and go back to fighting about that, because I'd rather fight about that. The way that people within the MAGA movement are killing each other over this with either like if you're for this and you're passionately for this, that's fine. I respect your opinion. I just really wish you'd stop attacking people that are either reluctant, hesitant or nervous. We don't need to be celebrating this as the greatest thing in the world. And if you are not happy about this, if you feel like this should not have been done, I don't think that you need to start saying that the president has abandoned his values or abandoned his core or anything else. This is kind of what Trump did the first term. I mean, he, you know, killed General Soleimani. A lot of people in the MAGA movement, like Tucker Carlson at the time, were upset and angry. Iran did nothing because they couldn't do anything to retaliate. He dropped the mother of all bombs on ISIS and ended that. And then we all moved on and we kind of forgot those things ever happened. So, you know, look, I'm always here to tell you the realistic truth of things. I don't need to come on the air and sell you on one side or the other. Your mind's made up. And, you know, I mean, I've told you how I feel. I'm nervous. I'm optimistic. This is the end of it. I'm not surprised. Not in the least. Given Trump, given his bluster, given the way that he likes to operate, I think you'd have to have gone into the weekend being naive, completely thinking that this wasn't at some point going to happen. Because in his mind, I think taking out these Iranian nuclear facilities is no different than killing Soleimani or dropping a Moab on ISIS. It's a one and done situation It's not invading, regime change, toppling the Ayatollah, building schools and believing that you can convince the Iranian people to love America and build democracy. So the Ayatollah is going to stay in charge. Maybe that disappoints you. Too bad. He's going to be in charge. Now, maybe there might be an internal coup within Iran to take him out. That's certainly possible, but it won't be by us. Maybe within Iran, there'll be a power struggle. That's certainly possible, but probably not, because he's hitting back at us, but not hitting back at us. You know, this is what I call the Fugazi bombing. It's like they notify Qatar in advance. They let them know it's coming. They shoot off the missiles so that he can save face with the people and the people in power. And then we shoot them all down. And Iran puts out a statement saying, this does not change our great friendship with Qatar. We love you. You love us. Like, thanks for letting us use your air skies to shoot down the missiles. And, you know, it's kind of a joke. You know what I mean? Like, we knew it was coming. The Ayatollah had to do it. He gets to stay in power. Maybe the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. You know, there's always that factor of these things. And he's weakened to the point now of strategically, militarily, anything he does now is only to hurt himself, like closing off the Strait of Hormuz or dropping the kind of mines in there that would cause the United States Navy to lose ships. Because if that happens, he knows what Trump's going to do, which is he's going to just open up a gigantic can of whoop ass on him, and they can't afford it. They can't strategically handle it. So those are the facts of the situation. I don't think you need to put your pom-poms on and cheer this. I also don't think you need to think that Trump is going to be Bush and try to think that he can change Iran and turn it into another democracy. And the truth is somewhere in the middle. Realistically, we all knew it was happening because we called this on Friday. So let's just be happy, I guess, that it was done with such precision. It's over. I don't see this escalating. I do not see this going anywhere from here. I don't think Iran's stupid enough to do that. I don't think Iran has the capability to do that. I think if you didn't hear the tough talk from Russia and these other countries, that would be the most surprising part of this. Of course, you're going to hear that. North Korea, Russia, you hear them. They're not going to do anything. They're not going to do anything because they're afraid of Trump. They think he's unpredictable, which he is. Putin's already got his own thing dealing with Ukraine. And so, you know, this is not going to turn into World War III. The constitutionality of this, like I've told you before, and I've said this a million times, in my opinion, the War Powers Act needs to be drastically rewritten. There are some that argue it's completely unconstitutional because it ties the president's hands. I would argue it doesn't tie the president's hands enough. I think we've seen in the last 20, 30 years, every president in both political parties use strategic strikes. And they can under the War Powers Act. So the people that are out there screaming about the constitutionality and saying that the president needs to be impeached over this, stop. Then that means that every other president who did a strike like this has to be impeached as well. I mean, now we have to posthumously impeach them, posthumously, from the sense that some are dead and some are, and the others are all out of office. So, you know, I mean, what can I tell you? The War Powers Act is a mess. Presidents act unilaterally like this. And then let's be grateful, I think, because I always want to be an optimist on all these things. This president has the wisdom to know we can't get involved in a long ground war here because we're probably not going to win. We haven't been too successful in winning them in the Middle East. As in, we have not. As in, it's impossible. As in, regime change is impossible. Bringing democracy is impossible. We left Afghanistan with our tail between our legs. But even if we had left Afghanistan under Trump, we still would have left Afghanistan and the Taliban would be in charge. The Taliban was always going to be in charge. So, you know, it's a futile effort. I think he knows that. I do. And that's why I'm not worried that the next thing we're going to hear is a presidential address saying, well, now we're invading Iran because we got to get rid of the Ayatollah. I mean, I'm sure Israel wants that. I'm sure there's a lot of countries that want that. It's not going to happen. Thank God. that will not happen. But as far as these strikes go, is it really any different from dropping the mother of all bombs in the first term, killing Soleimani in the first term? No, not really. Just different targets. Just a bigger hit to Iran. But done in the sense that that's it. Now we move on. So that's the upside of this. And what I can tell you is to be as the calming and reassuring person that I'm trying to be here is that that's how I genuinely see this playing out. Because I'm telling you, if he pulls a Bush and invades Iran and tries to do regime change, I'm out. Like, I'm done. You know, we get involved in another Middle Eastern war, I'm out. And if that means I lose my audience, I lose my audience. What can I tell you? I'm not gonna like pretend that, like, yay, woohoo, and because it's my guy. No, absolutely not. He does that, I'm out. I think you're out too. I think he knows that. And I think genuinely, philosophically, he understands it doesn't work, because it's why he was so critical of what we did with Iraq in the first place. So I don't think you have to worry about it. I really don't. I don't think it's a concern. I think it's a foolish concern to think that he'd go down that road, to be honest with you. So that's the good news. And the good news is they did this with precision, and it was done successfully. And now Iran's got nothing to shoot back with. So, you know, tough on them. What happens with them next? We'll talk about that as the show goes on. I think Dr. Victoria Coates will have some insight into where that goes next. But it doesn't go to war. It doesn't go to regime change. It doesn't go to a rebuilding democracy in Iran. Thank God. So, because it's not going to work, because it never does. Bottom line. All right. Listen, on Friday, we had a great time at the Grand Hotel. It was fun, wasn't it? Wasn't it a great time? Everybody being together, mocking Joe and Columbus in public like that, since Road Warrior wasn't there. It was a great day. So many great friends. And we're going to be back there August 15th, and I want to see you there. Join us for our next live show. And in the meantime, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make your reservation for your July midweek stay. July midweek stay. Do it today by going to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. If you do that, then what you're going to do is you're going to save money by getting resort credits that you can use right on site. Hemingway's restaurant, the outdoor pool bar, beach concession stand, even the gift shop. Now, you might think to yourself, all right, but Rich, what if I maybe I'll do a shore house. Don't do a shore house. I'll tell you why. Number one, if the weather's bad, like when it's really hot like this, believe it or not, you may not want to be in the outdoor pool. So the Grand has an indoor heated pool that you can use. If the weather's bad, you're covered, because they got a game room for the kids and the restaurant's right on site. Secondly, you don't have to do the sheets and the towels. The rooms have mini fridges. They got fridges. They got mini, kitchenettes in them. So you can save a little money by bringing your own stuff too. And you get the resort credits back to use. That's why everybody wins. It's a great place, great people. They love us there. They love us there. And they'll love you staying there. Always book direct with them for the best rates. And by the way, I got to see my friend Caitlin for a little bit. She had a big wedding the next day. That is the place for weddings. And Caitlin has been recognized as South Jersey's 2025 face of weddings. So if you're looking to plan that storybook wedding, or maybe you want to do a baby shower, bridal shower, family reunion, corporate event, just reach out to her today. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We got
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Great stuff coming up as the show goes on today. We're all reacting to what happened over the weekend. Your thoughts, your take, your calls. I'd love to hear from you. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zioli. And yeah, weigh in. Let me know what you think. My absolutely 100% please, no, and I'm not worried about it, but no regime change, no more war, no Middle Eastern war. Let's not get bogged down here. We're not going to bring a democracy to Iran. No, Not going to happen. No. So hopefully this is it. This is dropping the Moab. This is killing Soleimani. This is it. And now we all move on. All right. I mean, that's my take. That's my hope. That's my hope. It's what I believe based on what Vice President Vance was saying over the weekend as well, because I do think he's a very strong voice of reason for the president. Quick turnaround here. We'll come right back. I got a lot more audio for you, and I want you to hear from you. Are you happy? Are you scared? Are you thrilled? Are you angry? Let me know what you think. 855-839-1210. We're coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.